Where'd you put your pick, Zach?
Maybe. Usually there's one way in here.
Sorry. Thank you.
Oh, it is. Has my name on it. It really does. It says Lucas and Amanda, 7-Eleven. Aw. Okay, so Marlon had asked me to sing the song kind of in preparation for the baptism this evening, and I'm sure a lot of you know it. It's What a Beautiful Name. It's a newer one. And it kind of just sings for itself.
Thank you. The Bible tells us that one day, every knee will bow, and every single tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. What a wonderful name, Jesus Christ, our King. If you would take your study sheets and your Bibles, have them ready. We're going to be completing our summer series today, so there'll be a lot of review. I want you to have your study sheets available to look at and your Bibles. I'm sure that you've heard of the whole post-polio thing. Well, I'm experiencing post-wiffle ball swollen foot. And so if I'm leaning on the pulpit more than usual, that's why. Okay? And it kind of goes along with what we're going to talk about. You'll kind of gather that as we go on. We've been talking this summer about the Upside Down Kingdom, a series about the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God is from another place. It's not from this world. It's unlike any kingdom that has ever existed or does exist in this world. It's from heaven. That's what Jesus said. And when Jesus came, that kingdom came, the Kingdom of God. The Kingdom of God has a ruler, a king. It's Jesus. He is the King. The Kingdom of God has citizens. Those citizens are the ones who belong to Jesus, who have come to Him through salvation. They are the citizens of this kingdom. The Kingdom of God is eternal. It has an eternal destiny. Unlike any other kingdom that's ever existed, the Kingdom of God will not come to an end. In fact, the book of Revelation tells us that the time is coming when the only kingdom left on this earth will be the Kingdom of God, with Jesus ruling. And the Kingdom of God has principles to live by. In a sense, it has a constitution. It's the Word of God. And there are principles to live by in the Kingdom of God. And we are talking about some of those kingdoms this summer and learning that these principles for living in the Kingdom of God are quite different. And in this world, they seem to not make sense. Sometimes they seem upside down to people when they try to figure out this way of living that we call kingdom living. And so what we've done in this series is we started by talking about how you enter the kingdom, how you get in. That's important. And then for 7 weeks, we've looked at different principles for living in the kingdom of God and talked about what those principles are, that way of living, but also tried to understand why these ways of living don't make sense to the world. And yet they make sense to God, and hopefully they make sense to us. And today we're going to wrap up the series. I'm going to review each message by simply asking you a question from each of those messages. And then we're going to conclude the series by asking and answering one more question. So let's pray. Our Father, we come before you thanking you, first of all, for Jesus Christ. Thank you for loving us so much that you sent your one and only Son into this world, who revealed you to us, who then went to the cross, paid the penalty for our sin in our place, rose again, conquering death, and now offering salvation, forgiveness of sin, citizenship in your kingdom forever. Thank you. And thank you for teaching us this summer. Thank you, Father, for opening up your word and showing us how we are to live in your kingdom. Lord, it's not easy, because living the way you would like us to live is difficult. And it's not always accepted and understood by those around us in this world. And yet, Father, It's the way you want your people to live. And Father, I pray that as we move on from this series, Lord, would you help us? Help us to live out these principles that we've talked about, no matter what, as citizens of your kingdom, following our King Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So on your study sheets, first of all, I'm just going to take you through a review of what we've looked at this summer. So if you haven't been with us, you get just a little tiny taste of what we talked about, what those principles were for kingdom living. And I'm going to ask you a question about each of them, especially those who were here and a part of those studies. First of all, we talked about how to get into the kingdom of God, how to become a citizen. We aren't born into this world as citizens of God's kingdom, and yet we can be citizens. And the Bible is very clear. Jesus says there's only one way to get into the kingdom of God. You can't enter the kingdom of God unless you're born again, he says. You have to experience this second birth. And it's through Jesus Christ, believing in him. Only one way. And so we talked about that. Which means the question is, have you entered the kingdom of God by way of the second birth? That's the first question. If you haven't, then that's what you need to address before addressing any of these kingdom living principles that we're going to review. Have you entered the kingdom of God? Do you belong to Jesus Christ? Is he your king? Have you entered the kingdom through the second birth? By the way, 11 people this afternoon are going to tell us how they entered the kingdom through the second birth. Then, some of the kingdom living principles that are pretty different. First of all, we live by faith, not by sight. And that's hard for the world to grasp. That you could live your life by faith. Faith in someone you can't see. Faith in something you can't see at the time. Faith in the Lord. Faith in his word and what he says. We live by faith. It's a faith life. It's a faith walk. So the question is, do you live by faith as you live in the kingdom of God? Rather than primarily living by sight. Then we talked about how we are freed in salvation from sin's control over our life. What a wonderful thing to be freed from sin's control, sin's penalty. But what we have to understand is that we are not freed from sin in order to be free then from everything, to just live our life and to be in charge. The Bible is very clear. We are freed from sin in order to be slaves to God. So we move from being slaves to sin to being slaves to God. And the question is, do you view yourself as a slave to God and his righteousness? Is that how you view yourself? Or is that hard for you to think that you're still a slave under the authority of God, and that he is your master and king? In the kingdom of God, we live as slaves, not to sin, but slaves to God. We talked about this whole servant mindset that the scripture teaches that can be quite different and not make sense to this world. And Jesus said that in the kingdom of God, the people that are great are the people who serve. That greatness is about servanthood, serving others. That is not the definition of greatness in this world. But in the kingdom of God, it is. So the question then is, have you, as a citizen of the kingdom of God, developed that mindset? Have you developed a servant mindset? Are you about serving others rather than them serving you? Do you have a servant mindset? That's the mindset of the kingdom of God. Then we talked about trials, suffering. Yes, people in the kingdom of God go through trials just like everybody else. We experience suffering like others. But the Bible teaches that there's something different in the kingdom of God that doesn't make sense to the world, and that's our perspective of trials and suffering, how we view them. The Bible says we can choose an attitude of joy as we go through trials, because we have the presence of the Lord and we have the promises of the Lord. There's a bigger picture when it comes to trials and suffering. And it's good. Hard to understand, but it's good. So the question is, do you choose joy in your times of trials and suffering? Have you learned that attitude? Have you learned to choose joy because of the presence of God and His promises in the midst of those trials and suffering? That's kingdom living. We talked about loving our enemies. Whoa! That is a principle for living in the kingdom of God. Jesus was very clear. He said, you must love your enemies. It's not just love your neighbor. Love your enemies, those who persecute you, those who mistreat you, those who curse you. Love them. And He even tells us how. He says you love them by praying for them. You love them by doing good to them. You love them by blessing them instead of cursing them. You love them by withholding revenge. You love your enemies. That is different. But that's kingdom living. And so the question is, are you willing to live that way? We all have people in our lives who in some way choose to be our enemies to some degree or another. Are you a person that's willing to love even your enemies? And again, we talked about how the teaching isn't, you know, to be buddy-buddy with your enemies and to somehow become best friends with them. No, it's love them. Do good, pray for, bless, hold back revenge. Are you willing to love your enemies? That is kingdom living. Then we talked about Paul's testimony of how he had this thorn in the flesh and it was tormenting him and it was hindering him. He felt, and he asked God three times to take it away, and God didn't take it away. God said that grace would be sufficient and that in Paul's weakness, God's strength would show itself. And we talked about our weaknesses and how in the kingdom of God we see weakness as an opportunity for God to really work in and through us. That's when His strength really shows itself, when we're weak. And so the question is, have you experienced God's strength in your time of weakness? Have you learned about that principle? Have you accepted that principle? Do you depend on that truth? That when you're weak, you're strong. Because when you're weak, it's no longer your strength. It's the strength of God and His power revealing itself in and through you. And then last week, we looked at the seventh principle of living in the kingdom of God that seems upside down to the world, and that is, and Paul stated it, that dying is gain. Strange way to look at dying. But in the kingdom of God, that's how you look at dying. It's gain. How can it be gain? Well, Paul says, it's gain because to me living is Christ. And when I die, I'll see Christ. And Paul's life was all about Christ. And so while he was living, he lived for Christ. But he knew that when he died, he would be with Christ. He couldn't lose. Living or dying, couldn't lose. And so, what a perspective, what a view to have that is so different. To die is gain. Dying is gain. I'll live for Him here, and I'll be with him in eternity. To live as Christ, to die as gain. What a principle for kingdom living that's different from the world. So those are the principles that we looked at. There are many more, if you go through Scripture, principles for kingdom living that don't seem to make sense to the world, seem upside down from their thinking, and yet in God's perspective, in His kingdom, they make sense. And they are the way He wants us to live. So, I want to conclude the series by just asking a question and answering it briefly. And the question is there on your sheet, and it asks, is there a kingdom retirement plan? So we're going to talk about retirement. Those of you who are retired, don't get uncomfortable here. I'm not going to cast some kind of judgment or opinion on your retirement choice. But I want us to think about this. When it comes to being a citizen of the kingdom of God, when it comes to kingdom living and kingdom serving, living in the kingdom of God, serving in the kingdom of God, is there a retirement plan? Retirement is really important in this world, isn't it? Especially in our culture. Retirement, from the moment you start working, a lot of people start thinking about retirement. And they start planning for it. I mean, it's important to a lot of people. And what we mean by retirement in our culture is there will be that time when we get to step away from our job, from our career, from our work, and no longer have to do that anymore. And then reap some benefits that maybe we earned throughout those years of working. And that's kind of retirement, you know? And we look forward to it and we make plans, and some people really get consumed with making those plans. Here are my folders. Here's my Medicare and Social Security folder. Here are two IRA retirement folders. I'm not going to retire. I have no plans to retire. But just in case, I've got my folders. And I've got things in place. Okay. And many of you do too, right? Because retirement is a part of this world. It's a part of this culture. And it's important to many people. And I'm not going to say that's right or wrong. But what I want to do is think about retirement in the kingdom of God. Is there a retirement plan from kingdom living and kingdom serving? Why would I even ask that question? Because after being a pastor for over 40 years, I think there are Christians who believe there is a retirement plan in the kingdom of God. And I have seen Christians looking ahead to that retirement, to that time when they can step away, ease off, stop this kingdom living and kingdom serving. And I've seen many Christians do that. So that's why I'm asking the question. Is there a kingdom retirement plan? And all I'm going to do is take you to four scriptures. I'm going to read them. And I'm going to ask you, does it look like there's a kingdom retirement plan based on these scriptures? So start with me in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians. Chapter 15. In 1 Corinthians 15, the Apostle Paul is giving a very lengthy presentation about the hope of resurrection, the hope of what's to come after death, because death will be conquered by those in the kingdom of God. We have victory over death. Death is gain, right? For those of us in the kingdom. And after talking about that great hope he concludes with this in verse 58. Therefore, my dear brothers, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. So after talking about this great hope we have and the future we have as people in the kingdom of God, Paul doesn't say, okay, that means you can take it easy now. You can kind of just sit back and wait. You've done your thing. You're okay. You're in. No. He says, because we have this hope, because we have this future, he says, and notice the phrase, always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Those are some big words, big phrases, aren't they? Always. Does that sound like something that comes to an end? Give yourself fully. Does that sound like easing off, stepping back, taking a break? Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Does that sound like retirement from kingdom living? Retirement from kingdom serving? Like I said, I've known Christians who, when they get to this place of retirement as it's seen in our culture, they also seem to think it means retirement from kingdom living and serving. And they'll say, well, you know, I've lived this life and served the Lord all these years. I'm getting kind of weary about it. And besides that, I got to step back and let all the young people take over. You know, that sounds good, but I'm not going to use the word garbage, okay? Does that sound like what Paul is saying? Always give yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Those young people, friends, should be serving and living in the kingdom whether you retire or not. Your retirement from your job doesn't affect them, and it shouldn't. They are responsible to always give themselves fully to the work of the Lord, whether you retire from the mine or not. Don't look at your retirement as the reason for those who are younger to step up and serve in the kingdom. That should not be their reason for serving in the kingdom. They should be, and you should be. In fact, we are so blessed in this church family. We have 6 elders in leadership. 4 of them are retired. And you know how they have handled their retirement? It has allowed them to step up their shepherding of you. And I watch these guys and I listen to them talk about their connections with you and their ministry to you and their care for you and their prayers for you. They haven't retired from the kingdom. In fact, they've seen retirement in the culture as freeing them to step up their serving in the kingdom. That's the way to look at it. See, Paul doesn't seem to be expressing some kind of retirement from kingdom living and serving here. He says, always giving yourself fully to the work of the Lord. Let's check out Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 6. Starting in verse 10. The writer says, God is not unjust. He will not forget your work and the love you've shown Him as you have helped His people and continue to help them. We want each of you to show this same diligence to the very end in order to make your hope sure. We do not want you to become lazy. Does that sound like there's a kingdom retirement plan? That the writer is talking about somewhere down the road retiring from kingdom living and serving? he talks about showing diligence. How long? To the very end. Not until you're 60, not until you're 65, not until you're 70. But he says, show diligence to the very end. In fact, verse 12, he says, we don't want you to become lazy. Does that sound like a retirement from kingdom living and serving? I don't think so. To the very end. Those of you who have played football, you've heard this little saying, keep playing until the whistle blows. Right? Heard that? Keep playing until the whistle blows. That means once you start the play, you just keep on until you hear the ref blow the whistle. Friends, continue in kingdom living and kingdom serving until you hear the whistle blow. And the whistle doesn't blow till your time is up on this earth. And so the writer just says, be diligent to the very end. Do not become lazy. 2 Timothy 4. 2 Timothy 4. This is the Apostle Paul writing to a young pastor. Paul is in prison. He knows that his time is almost up. He's about to die. He's been sentenced. The only thing left is his execution. And he says in verse 6 of 2 Timothy 4, for I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time has come for my departure, his death. And then he says this, and you all are familiar with it. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Paul could say that. Paul finished well. Sadly, many people whose life is recorded in the Scriptures didn't finish well. Sadly, throughout history, there are people of God who didn't finish well. Sadly, you and I probably know some people who didn't finish well as citizens of God's kingdom. Paul could say, I fought the fight, I finished the race, and I kept the faith. I remained faithful. And he was honest. He finished well. Does that sound like retirement from kingdom living and serving? No. Finish well. All the way. We cannot become satisfied as Christians to get to the end of our life here and just say, well, at least I got a t-shirt. Now, some of you know what that means, okay? I mean, how many people enter races and competition and all they are satisfied with is, as long as I get a t-shirt, I'm okay. Not in the Christian life, friends. Not in kingdom living. You can't be satisfied with just a t-shirt. We have to finish well. We got to finish well all the way to the end. That's not a retirement plan. We finish well. And then finally, 2 Peter. 2 Peter chapter 1. Those of you who are into things like drama, theater, dance, music, you're going to love this passage. 2 Peter chapter 1. Peter starts talking about this wonderful salvation we've had, all that God has given us. He's given us everything we need to live the Christian life. And he says in verse 5, for this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith. And then he lists a number of things that we need to add to our faith. And I've taught on this before, and you know this, but let me remind you. The Greek word that's translated add to or supply to in some older translations is the Greek word choregio. We get choreograph from that word. What he's saying is make every effort to choreograph your faith life. And you choreograph it by adding all these other qualities, all these other things. Isn't that what choreography is? You know? You take all these things and you put them together, you get them working together, and the result is this wonderful concert. It's this wonderful play. It's this wonderful dance. You know? So you get that microphone and you get that keyboard and you get those drums and you get, you know, your matching outfits and you work on those dance steps and whatever. You put it all together, you choreograph it, and it becomes this wonderful product. And Peter is saying to the Christians, choreograph your faith life by taking all these things God has given you, and there's a list of seven or so there, get them working together in your life. Choreograph your faith life. And then he goes on in verse 8. He says, if you possess these qualities that he wants you to get working together in your faith life, and he says, if they are in increasing measure, they're growing, they're getting better and better, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. Here's a question that every Christian needs to address. Do you want to be productive as a Christian? Do you want to live in the kingdom of God a productive life? Do you want to be an effective servant of God? Do you want to be productive? Do you want to be effective? Peter says you will be if you get all these things he listed working together in your life and growing. And then he goes on. Verse 10, therefore, my brothers, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. He's just saying this will prove the genuineness of your calling. For if you do these things, you'll never fall. That's pretty good. Verse 11, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Do you know what the Greek word is there for receive a rich welcome? It can also read, a rich welcome will be supplied for you. It's the same word, choregio, choreographed. This is exciting. Peter is saying, if you will choreograph your Christian life, choreograph your faith life, keep adding these things, love, perseverance, self-control, all these things in that list, you keep adding them, getting them working together and growing and growing and growing, you'll be productive, you'll be effective, less chance of you falling and stumbling, and you will have a choreographed entrance into the eternal kingdom. That's hard to imagine, but that's what Peter says. There are people in the kingdom of God who are going to enter the presence of God, and their entrance is going to be choreographed by God. It's going to be a grand entrance. Why? Because they made every effort. They were diligent to keep choreographing all these godly qualities into their faith life and living it. And they were productive because of that. They were effective because of that to the very end. And as a result, God is going to give them a grand entrance into His presence. And you might say, well, that shouldn't be a motivation for how I live. I'm not saying that should be a motivation. God's saying it should be a motivation. He says, you live this kind of life to the end, and I will give you, I will choreograph your entrance into my presence. That's motivational to me. Does that sound like retirement from kingdom living? kingdom serving? It really doesn't. So, keep working for the Lord as long as life lasts, so you finish well and receive a grand entrance. That's those four scriptures put together. Keep working for the Lord as long as life lasts, finish well, and receive a grand entrance. Doesn't sound like a retirement plan. So, we conclude the series and this message with three questions at the bottom of your sheet. Question one. And you really need to be honest about this, you know. Have you been entertaining thoughts of retiring from kingdom living? Have you actually found yourself entertaining thoughts that this is just getting too hard? I'm getting weary. This kingdom living thing, this serving the Lord in the kingdom. Have you actually entertained thoughts of looking ahead to a time where you can just ease off? You can just step away some. Take a break. Maybe basing it on your age. How many years it's been since you've been living for the Lord. Have you been entertaining thoughts of someday retiring from kingdom? I don't mean leaving the kingdom of God. You can't leave the kingdom of God once you're in, right? The kingdom is eternal, and your salvation that brought you into the kingdom is eternal. I'm not talking about leaving that. I'm talking about stepping away from kingdom living and kingdom serving. Retiring from that. Have you entertained thoughts about the time when you would just like to retire from that? Second, have you already retired from kingdom living? Maybe you've already made that choice. Maybe you've already stepped back. Maybe you've already stopped. Maybe you've already let up. You used to be so passionate about kingdom living, so passionate about serving in God's kingdom. And for whatever reasons you convinced yourself with, you have already retired from that. Stepped away. Other things are more important. Other things have grabbed your passion, which is unbelievable. And catch this. You might be only 30 years old. You might be 19. You might be 50 or 60. There are Christians at all ages who've already retired from kingdom living and kingdom serving. As though there's a retirement plan that they can enter into at any time. I don't see that in Scripture. I don't see it. Are you entertaining retiring from kingdom living and serving? Have you already retired? How's that going for you? How has it affected your productivity and your effectiveness as a Christian? How has that affected your testimony to this world? How has that affected your ability to help fellow believers grow in the kingdom? If you've retired from kingdom living and kingdom serving. Number three, what will it take for you to be a productive and effective kingdom citizen until the day you cross the finish line? Do you even want that? Is that what you want? I sure hope so. I hope that you want to be this effective, productive, glory to God giving citizen of the kingdom until you cross the finish line. I hope that's your desire. What's it going to take to live that productive, effective kingdom life until you cross the finish line? You're going to have to answer that. What's it going to take for you? Does something have to change? Does there have to be some adjustments in your life? in your thinking. To become more of that productive, effective citizen of the kingdom of God that you really want to be, and maybe you used to be, but for some reason you decided to retire from it. There's a saying that says, nothing changes if nothing changes. Nothing changes if nothing changes. What might you need to do? What might God be asking you to do in order to get back on track in kingdom living and serving so that you can be productive and effective until you cross the finish line? So, kingdom living, kingdom serving. To the world, it sometimes seems like it doesn't make sense. To the world, it sometimes seems totally upside down from reality. And yet it makes sense to God. They're His principles. And it's how He wants His people in His kingdom to live. And when we live by these principles, when we're involved in growing in kingdom living, kingdom serving, God is glorified, God is honored. Believers around us are encouraged and grow. Unbelievers around us begin to think about maybe there's a different way to live. Seems strange, but it looks like they're really enjoying it and satisfied. Friends, the world needs us to finish well and to give our all to kingdom living and serving. The world needs us to be different. It really does. No matter what they say, they need us to be different. And the unbelievers, the world right around you, at work, in your community, they need you to be practicing kingdom living and serving. They need you to be different. They need you to show them there's a different way. And as strange as it seems to them right now, they need you to consistently live that life. They need you to finish well. Let's pray. And before I close in prayer, could you just spend some time with God? Whatever has come to your mind this morning about kingdom living and serving, talk to him about that. Our Father, we owe you our lives. Your Son Jesus gave His life for us. You forgave us when we repented. You brought us into your family, your kingdom, as we believed in Jesus and surrendered to Him. Why wouldn't we want to follow your principles and live in your kingdom as you have designed? Father, sometimes it's hard because it's different. People don't understand. But Father, they need to see. They need to see that there's another way. And it's your way. And I pray for my brothers and sisters and myself that you would help us to renew our passion, to renew our desire to be obedient, productive, effective citizens in your kingdom. Renew our passion and our desire for kingdom living, for kingdom serving. And renew our passion and our desire to serve you and to live for you fully to the very end, that we might finish well and be blessed to receive a grand entrance into your presence. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.